Here's what Benjamin Netanyahu wants to tell young Jews about birthright. If you come to Israel,
you'll discover who you are, you'll discover your connection to the land of your fathers, you'll discover that in many ways, you've come home. Welcome home.
That's from a 2010 video. According to Brandeis researchers, almost three-quarters of alumni describe birthright as life-changing.
Israel really changed me.
That's Julie Feldman. She went on Birthright in December 2008.
And I know that that also sounds probably trite, and many people have that response, but I truly felt when I came back that I was a different person.
Julie was 26 at the time, a native New Yorker, a Reform Jew. Before Birthright, she called herself a blank slate. She returned as the 2008 assault on Gaza was underway. Her new outlook? Pro-Israel. It seems almost unbelievable. Could a 10-day trip really shore up Jewish identity and loyalty to Israel? I had to see for myself. So, in February 2010, I packed a suitcase full of recording equipment and went on Birthright. I chose the same tour provider as Julie, Israel Experts. They advertise, quote, serious programs for serious people who want to have fun. By the end, nearly everyone said they felt more Jewish. Some initially advocated binationalism, but that changed.
Haven't Jews been through enough, though? We can't just have this little sliver of the world as a Jewish state. Don't we deserve it? Don't we? 22 countries surrounding Israel that are Arab nations.
That's Josh Schlesinger, after visiting the Holocaust Museum in Jerusalem. My busmates looked upon Israelis with admiration. One mild-mannered computer programmer put it like this.
I came expecting to see the Jews that I know, my own domesticated house cat Jews. I'm a house cat Jew, and I'm seeing wild, feral Jews.
Indeed. Israel had to expel 700,000 non-Jews to make the country to begin with. Since 1948, Israel has worked hard to maintain Jewish majority rule. My Birthright trip leaders were uncommonly frank in explaining the underpinnings of Israeli ethnocracy. Racism, nationalism, and legal discrimination. But Birthright made it all seem fun. My trip was a Zionist summer camp for young professionals. Lawyers, corporate strategists, a personal trainer who advocated a strict Paleolithic diet. My busmates had grown-up jobs and responsibilities, and we left them all behind. Birthright educational activities were fourth grade level. New friends confided feeling as if they'd known one another for years. We lamented a terrible truth of adulthood. Everyone is too busy to spend meaningful time together. For 10 days, we enjoyed a second adolescence. Equally carefree, but now with sex and alcohol.
And Abraham walks down, kind of shuffles on down. Okay.
That's Joe Perlov. He's the CEO of Israel Experts.
Walks up a little further to the city of Hebron and dies. Don't die. Just stand there a second.
Right now, Joe's leading an audience volunteer into the Promised Land. It's part of an activity he calls the Changing Map of the Middle East. We're spending the weekend on a kibbutz called Gevulot. It was the first military outpost in the Negev. We sit in a circle, and the Middle East is made out of tape on the floor. Joe paces back and forth in the center, his face all lit up. He's Larry David, reborn as a Zionist educator. Same balding pattern, same lopsided grin. Joe's history lesson skips diaspora. Fast forward to Herzl, the Dreyfus Affair, the beginning of Zionist settlement in Palestine, the Holocaust, and Jewish victory in 1948. Joe picks audience volunteers to illustrate Israel's population after the war.
Kelsey is an Israeli Jew. An Israeli Jew. an Israeli Jew. Raquel is an Israeli Jew.
Jason.
Jason is an Israeli Arab.
On Birthright, we laugh at the ridiculous, the unimaginable. We laugh at non-Jews.
1967. This was a big moment. We just conquered.
That's the sound of Joe ripping up tape from the ground. Up comes the West Bank, Gaza, Sinai, and the Golan Heights. Then, for the Yom Kippur War, Joe puts the Sinai tape back down. And like that, history is over. The lesson is that we're part of the Jewish people, we're responsible for Israel, and we have to help change the map to bring about a two-state solution. During the Q&A, Joe casually says that a future Palestinian state will be totalitarian. A few days later, I talk about the map activity with a 21-year-old Air Force officer named Danielle Schneiderman. She says she cried sitting there in the audience. She'd forgotten the Zionist stories learned long ago in childhood. IDF behavioral researchers have found that Israeli participants become more motivated in their military service. The soldiers need Birthright, too. That evening, we file into a period house decorated with a combat helmet, army radio, and black and white photos of women manning artillery. We learn the story of the Gevelot Kibbutz's 1943 founding in the participatory manner of all summer camp lessons. Skits with gratuitous cross-dressing.
So, without further ado, hopefully you recognize the tune.
Da-na, oh baby, baby. Oh baby, baby.
It's a song about a kindly kibbutz doctor much loved by the natives. Tell me, I know you can heal me, they sing. It's military conquest made benevolent, the classic colonial fantasy.
Because I believe,
I believe.
A 21-year-old Israeli soldier named Yossi Misrahi prances on stage with makeshift breasts. Yossi is goofy and adored by the entire group. He fought in last winter's attack on Gaza, and he shows his new American friends the so-called terrorist headbands he collected from the bodies of Palestinians he killed. We are 5 miles from Gaza. The evening activity ends with a round of sweet Bedouin tea. L'chaim, we cheer, raising our glasses. We are excused to the kibbutz bar. The guide tells us it's a happening place. The locals come from miles around. He says, even people in Gaza are coming to the checkpoint. Everyone laughs. I actually don't think people on the trip are monsters. Birthright is designed to bring about a kind of deadening of feeling. A deadening through overstimulation. It's hard to imagine anyone else's suffering when you're having the time of your life.
Oh, baby, baby, how was I supposed to know that something wasn't right here? Oh, baby, baby, I shouldn't have let.
That's the guide on the PA, Shachar Peleg Afroni. Late 30s, born and raised on a kibbutz, just like his parents. He's the kind of outdoorsy, secular Zionist who seems like he'd be equally comfortable wielding a kayak paddle or a gun. The trip itinerary says we're headed for something called the Bedouin Desert Village Experience. I think they mean desert, with one S.
It's something about Bedouins. First of all, they are nomadic people. And they originated from Saudi Arabia.
We hear this kind of thing all the time on Birthright. Basically, an argument that Israel's indigenous people are not actually indigenous. Shachar points out the tin shacks of Bedouin encampments along the side of the road. They're called unrecognized villages. We learn Israel doesn't provide them with any civil services like water, electricity, or education. These are state tactics to force Bedouins off their ancestral land.
Israel, every now and then, go and spray the fields because the fields were made in a place which is illegal according to the state of Israel. Spray as in kill the field, kill the crops. Just kill the crops. It's not far from your training zone for the army. You call it the green unit, and they just take the Bedouins and kick them away.
Lecture Israeli pop music, lecture Israeli pop music. That's the soundtrack for the Birthright bus. Listen closely, and you can hear the trip's IDF soldiers sitting in the back of the bus, clapping, cheering people on to dance.
Can you hear me now?
Throughout the trip, everyone talks about how great it is not being adults anymore. We are thoroughly infantilized, and we love it. There are no decisions bigger than lunch, falafel or shawarma. And so we arrive at the Bedouin dessert village experience. We ride camels into the sunset. A man named Mohammed welcomes us to the village experience with coffee.
And Bedouins call that al-azzam, the inviter. Listen, we invite people from the desert.
Mohammed explains that Bedouins are traditionally a wandering people. Matthew Pink raises his hand.
What kept the Bedouins from like assimilating when in modern cultures, like maybe when the British came or something? What kept the Bedouins in the desert when they knew that there was water and food to go to in the cities or something?
I don't understand exactly that.
When Howard Zinn died last year, Matthew changed his Facebook profile picture to a photo of the historian. I get the sense that there's a difference between the person Matthew imagines himself to be and the person Birthright brings out. And the final question comes from Raquel Spitzer, a 27-year-old massage therapist.
Do you feel harassed by Israeli government?
Harassed?
No.
You don't have equal rights, but you live good. Maybe 70-80% of rights. For the respect, you need to work, to have efforts. That's what I'm going to do. To serve in the army, to be equal. I use my music all the time for peace.
I raise my hand and ask what those other 20 or 30% rights are, the ones he doesn't have. Suddenly, I feel a firm grip on my shoulder. Don't go there, the guide says to me. Later, he explains that it's okay for him as a Jewish tour guide to talk of the discrepancy in rights between Jews and non-Jews in Israel. But as for Mohammed, if someone came back from Birthright saying they heard bad things about Israel in the Bedouin tent, he could lose his job. After a bit, Mohammed picks up the oud and starts to play a familiar tune, Hava Nagila. Night fell on the village experience. Floodlights were switched on. The camels, asleep in their pen, glowed blue-green.
But if you make it totally equal, how do you keep it a Jewish state? Ultimately, that's the issue. Right?
There you go.
That's Daniel Frankel talking with the guide. Throughout Birthright, he's troubled by the inherent inequalities in a Jewish state. Birthright puts them on full view. As the bus crisscrosses the entire country, Shachar points out the window. That's a Jewish town, that's an Arab town. We learn that Israel generally builds a ring of Jewish towns around each Arab town, quote, to keep them from spreading. From there, Shachar talks about the 2006 war in Lebanon.
I gave an order to shoot down a 70-year-old person. And this is something I have to live with all my life, because he was walking around our house for 2 days. I just let him tell Hezbollah we are there. One rocket and we are done.
900 Lebanese civilians were killed compared to 43 Israeli civilians.
If you want to see Israel in its best, come in a time of a war. Right. It sounds terrible. Everybody's for everyone. But that's Israel. That's the beauty of these people. We know how to recover from terrible events.
Right.
We know.
Well, because there's always a terrible event.
That's Matthew again. After Birthright, he's headed for Thailand, a soul-searching trip. Over the course of Birthright, he becomes increasingly concerned about Iran's nuclear capacities.
Because Israel is constantly under this threat, does this mean that the everyday people in Israel live more their life more to the fullest?
I mean, when you live in Israel, you don't deal with these issues. Otherwise, we won't be able to live. Everybody in Israel has or one of his family or somebody knows that died somehow in a violent event.
After dinner, I talk with Ross Katz, a 25-year-old Duke graduate. Like almost everyone else on Birthright, Ross describes himself as a liberal. Everything Shachar said earlier about fighting civilian warfare has really made an impression on him. And yes, that's a guitar circle in the background singing Wonderwall, the 1995 hit from Oasis.
That are motivating them, the sense of community that these people have as a result of that their survival is in doubt. The fact that when Shachar goes to war, he's thinking about the fact that he's got a wife and kid who's living in this country that are going to be raised in Jewish society, that his friends are going to fight for their way of life. And that's something beautiful. That's a bond that...
I'm not seeing the beautiful part of that, though. I see more of the tribal mentality of we go and we get them and,
no,
like...
No, no, I mean, I think that I... I feel bad if you're not going to see the fact that like going to war, like seeing their friends killed, like seeing their relatives killed, and what you see is that has tied this place together in a way that it never could have been tied if there hadn't been so many tragedies. And I experienced this in my own life with my mom's life-threatening illness. It ties my family together.
All right, concept number one, Lishon Tapiot, with a graphical depiction of three spoons.
We're now gathered as a group to vote on a Birthright t-shirt.
The translation of Lishon Tapiot is to sleep like teaspoons, which we all expect to be doing tonight.
A number of people suggest a giant picture of Shachar's face. Ultimately, it's ruled out because no one knows how to draw faces.
We win.
After the stargazing walk, after we sit around the campfire and sing American Pie and Sweet Home Alabama and all the hits of yesteryear, we settle in for the night. We zip ourselves into ratty sleeping bags that smell faintly of cat urine. When the lights go down in the fake Bedouin tent, we spoon, myself included. I'm transforming on Birthright. From a reporter to a full participant. Here's the thing. I've found a fellow Birthright critic, someone else who feels sick and sad and furious a lot of the time. His name is Matt. During group activities, we exchange knowing looks and nudges. We bond over the shared experience of the trip, just like everyone else. After the trip, Matt and I will break up in a few months. It's a textbook Birthright romance. Out in the real world, Matt is a Silicon Valley green tech hotshot who's never heard of Cornell West. But I don't know that yet. For now, I spoon. In Hebrew, Ahava means love. It's also the name of an Israeli beauty products company. They're manufactured in a West Bank settlement called Mitzpeh Shalom.
It smells good in here.
Right now, we're in the Ahava factory gift shop. But our Birthright guide has led us to believe we're on a kibbutz.
The minerals in the Ahava products function as intercellular messengers. They are responsible.
We sit for an infomercial. Ahava is currently the target of a high-profile boycott campaign. Later, the chairman of the Ahava board tells me 5,000 to 10,000 Birthrighters visit their stores each year. The gift shop is run by bewigged Orthodox settler women. Everyone buys armloads of beauty products. Leaving, I crash into the birthright guard and somehow manage to bang my shin on her rifle. We spend the afternoon on the private Ahava factory beach. We laugh and float in the Dead Sea. The waters are warm and crystalline. Couples slather mud on each other. Women paint smiley faces on their chests. We get back on the birthright bus. We pull out of the Ahava parking lot onto settler-only roads. From our seats, we sway to the music, bound for Jerusalem.